Series, I would call it Adventures in Christian Living. We're looking at what the Holy Spirit of God makes possible in the life of the believer. And these are all qualities that if we will just cooperate with God's Holy Spirit, we will see borne out in our own lives more and more each day as we mature in Christ. Now, here in the first part of these fruits that are mentioned, we see the fruits that are directly connected with God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. These three fruits are because of our relationship with God. Now, the next ones that we're going to look at, the next three, in fact, deal more with our relationship with one another as believers, as we'll see, patience, kindness, and goodness. And so we're going to grow in our appreciation of God tonight as we look at peace. Next week we're going to talk about growing in our relationship with one another through these other aspects of the Spirit's presence in our life. But tonight we're going to look at peace, and there are two kinds of peace. There is peace with God. This talks about the cessation of the war between sinful man and a holy God, the peace that was made possible at the cross. In Romans 5:1, Paul talks about peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's another kind of peace, and this is the kind we're going to be talking about tonight, and that is the peace of God. It's what God gives to us once we have surrendered to Him. Once we've made peace with Him, then He gives us His peace. We read about this kind of peace in several verses. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." It's mentioned also in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, the sad truth is that not everyone who has the first kind of peace, peace with God, also enjoys the second kind, the peace of God. There are a lot of Christians who have been forgiven, who are part of the family, who are under the guidance and welfare of God in their life and the Holy Spirit, and yet who are troubled and worried and peaceless Christians, and that shouldn't be the case. Jesus offers us peace. Jesus Himself said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So it's a shame for those of us who have made peace with God through the cross to live our lives troubled and fearful. That shouldn't be the case at all. And if that typifies you, then let me encourage you tonight to begin working and growing in this area and ask God through His Spirit to give you the peace that He very willingly will give. Now, let me be sure we understand what this peace is. This peace, the peace of God, is not an absence of problems. He doesn't just create smooth sailing for us. What He does offer is His strength through whatever storms of life come our way. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." God's promise is not to take away the problem. God's promise is not to pull us out of the problem. God's promise is to help us bear up under whatever it is that causes that kind of stress. He can give us peace, even in the midst of the storm. And that's why I want us to look over at this passage in Matthew chapter 14, because there is no clearer illustration of the peace that God gives than the story that is recorded here in Matthew chapter 14 of the night that Jesus came walking on the water to His apostles, who were so terrified and troubled and frightened in the middle of that storm on the Sea of Galilee. Read with me, if you will, from in chapter 14, starting down in verse 22. It says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone." You know, Jesus was separated from those men who had come to depend upon him. They were out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night because Jesus had sent them there. It was his providential will that they be out there. They go out in the middle of the sea, and they're simply doing what God, in the form of Jesus, asked them to do. They were not disobeying the Lord. That's not why they got into trouble. They were there because it was his will to be there. So don't ever get the idea that if you're doing God's will, you'll somehow be protected from the storms of life. That's just not true. The first storm that Jesus faced in his ministry after he was baptized was the temptation in the wilderness. And you know how he got into that terrible storm out there and had to do battle with Satan? Do you remember how he got into that storm? In Matthew 4:1 it says, "Then Jesus, after his baptism, was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil." You see, God at times will providentially lead us into stormy waters and allow us to be there, even when we're doing his will, even when we're being obedient to him. Now, there are two kinds of problem areas in life that we typically see, two kinds of storms. There are self-induced storms. There are times, because of my own stupidity, I've gotten myself into messes. Because of my own moral failures, I've landed in a mess, and I can blame no one but myself. Jonah found himself in a situation like that when he disobeyed God, when he ran from God, and ended up in the belly of the fish. Now, those kinds of storms are allowed by God, and they're usually corrective in nature. And I need to learn a lesson when I walk into a self-induced storm. But there are other storms in life that just occur naturally. Not because I've done anything wrong, not because I've made a mistake. We're told that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. God allows natural events to occur even in the lives of good people. These storms are not so much corrective in nature as they are growth-inducing. I mean, we go through some of those kinds of situations, illnesses and losses and reversals. I ask God, "What do you want me to do?" And he'll just say, "Grow." These will help you grow as you move through life. The truth is, though, that none of us are ever in a storm that God didn't see coming. God is never surprised. He's never shocked. He never looks down and says, "Oh, no, what's happened to my child?" He knows the storms that are coming, and he knows our capabilities, and he will weigh that out carefully and never allow more to be placed upon you than you can bear. Now look at Jesus up on the mountainside. They're out in the middle of the lake. The storm is coming. Jesus is praying up on the mountainside. Verse 23, "After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone." There's an interesting parallel to this text here that we're looking at. Over in Mark's account of the same story, in Mark chapter 6, it says, "When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land. And he saw his disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them." Jesus looks out there, and he knows what's going on. The storm has swept down on the lake. They're straining at the oars. They're battling against the wind, and they're losing the battle. And Jesus is up on the mountain praying while that's going on. You know, it's interesting because although we're not told the content of his prayer, he had to be concerned for those men, their welfare, their fear all that was going on. And as he was praying, it just reminds me of the passage in Hebrews 7:25 that says, He ever lives to make intercession for us. I know that there are many here tonight that have struggles. We just came out of the prayer group, and many of you turned in cards this morning. And one of our elders here, Tom Edwards, went through those cards, and we prayed as a group for many of the situations that were expressed on those back of your attendance cards. I know a lot of you are going through stormy waters right now. And I know a lot of you have concerns that make you fearful. But let me just remind you of the role that Jesus plays in all of this. Tonight, He sees every one of us. And He knows the storms that we're in. And He ever lives to make intercession for us. How would you feel tonight if Jesus could be here in the flesh with us tonight? And if we were told, you hand Him your prayer concern, and He is going to go back in the library tonight, and He's going to get down on His knees, and He is going to pray for you by name. You know, that can give us peace in the midst of the storm. To know that Jesus sees us, that Jesus is interceding on our behalf, that He cares about us, and He knows what our breaking point is. Jesus saw them in their storm, and He sees everyone here tonight in whatever storm you face. Verse 25, He's not content to stay there on the shore and just pray. It says, the boat was already in considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. He came to them in the middle of their distress. And I know from my own personal experience, Jesus is never more real to me than in the middle of some trial that I'm facing. When I'm discouraged, when I'm down, when people around me are going through difficulties, never is Jesus more real than when we are in the middle of some difficult situation and we turn to Him for help. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? At their worst moment, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king looked in and he saw one like a son of God right there with them. You know, it's in the fire that we see and feel and experience the presence of God. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? An angel was sent right there with him. And he closed the mouths of those lions that were ready to devour him. Remember Jesus there in the garden the night that he prayed. Luke 22 says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. It's in our worst moments, in our greatest trials, that God will come to us and make Himself felt and seen as we face those trials. God comes to us to reassure us in those difficult times. And I am a firm believer that God still does for us what He did for many of them. I believe God sends His angels to us, and I think that's borne out clearly in the Bible. In Hebrews 1:14, we read, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I'm going to inherit salvation. You're going to inherit salvation. And God's angels are ministering spirits sent to serve us in our times of trial. We don't know. I've never seen an angel for sure that I know of. I don't know how God works, but I believe what the Bible says. Look in verse 26. When the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. You know, when we're going through hard times, there are rational fears that are legitimate fears. If you get a dreaded diagnosis from the doctor, there is reason for concern and fearfulness. That's a legitimate response. But to be afraid of a ghost, like those men were, that's an irrational fear to have. And in the storms of life, there tends to be a progression. When we're going through hard times, we tend to have the rational concerns and fears that ought to be part of the situation we're in. But very often, those rational fears will move on into irrational fears. You know, you can be fearful about your checking account. Oh, dear, those checks are going to bounce. And I'm going to have to pay charges. And then that can move on into an irrational fear. Oh, they're going to come and take the house away. We're going to starve to death. Woe is me. And the rational will lead into the completely irrational if we're not careful. And it's here that Jesus provides comfort. Jesus has made promises to us. There is a point at which we will not go beyond His care. We are more valuable than the sparrow and the flowers. And He is not going to let us completely crash and fall and burn. We have a Lord who loves us and cares for us. And He will not allow us to go beyond the brink in these areas. In John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. No, the disciples were afraid of going under the very waves that Jesus was walking on. He's overcome. He's on top of our issues, our problems. What they feared would soon be over their heads was under His feet. Now, I don't care how big our problems can be. It's not even a problem at all for God. The worst problem that anyone has in this room tonight is not even an issue for God. Peter got out and he started to walk to the Lord, but then he went down. That wasn't a problem for Jesus. The fact that Peter thought he was going to drown, that was no issue for Jesus. He just reached out and picked him up and lifted him out of the waters. And sometimes we feel like we're going down for the third time, but all we've got to do is what Peter did. Just reach out our hand and let Jesus rescue us from our problem. In verse 31, it goes on to say there, immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught Peter, and He said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, they should have expected Jesus to come to their rescue. They should have expected Jesus to be there for them. They had been with Him long enough that they had learned that much about His nature and His love and His care. Those beautiful words are recorded in both the Old and the New Testaments. Hebrews 13 is the one I'm looking at here. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I hope that we tonight have the peace of God that has been promised to us clearly in Scripture. And I hope that even in the midst of the storm that we can go to sleep tonight safe in the arms of Jesus. Even in nature's greatest storms on the face of this earth, the hurricanes that sweep across the oceans and cause such devastation, in the very center of those horrendous, terrific storms, there's that little eye of calm in the eye of the hurricane, the center of the hurricane, and it's as calm as a pond on a summer evening right there in the eye of the storm. And God can create and carve out for us, in whatever storms we have, an eye of peace where we can take shelter and be safe. I want to close tonight by looking at Paul's wish for the Thessalonian churches. He writes to Thessalonica in first and second letter that he penned them. And then he closes with some of the most beautiful words that one Christian ever wrote to another. There in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, this is his wish for those Christians, and it's my wish for all of you tonight. He says there, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. But what a blessing we have in this wonderful fruit that the Spirit of our God provides for us in our hearts. And I pray that we can all enjoy the peace that's available to every one of us as Christians. Tonight, if we can assist you, we prayed this morning with Jeff and Elena Treat at second service. We'll pray with anybody here tonight who's troubled and allow God's peace to bless you before we go home. If you need to come for that reason or any other, we invite you to do that while we stand in.